Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and I'm so pleased to be here with you tonight. Well, so much is going on here in the world. Today is voting time, there's early voting, and there's so many people that don't understand what the process is of voting. And I do want to say, for those of you who've done mail-in ballots or mailing in your ballots because you don't want to stand on the long lines, these are some steps you must make sure you do. When you're filling out your ballot, please do not use a pencil. Secondly, when you've completed, put it inside the pocket, the jacket that they gave you when they mailed your ballot. Make sure you print your name on the top and also sign your signature and date it before you drop it in the mailing ballot box. Please make sure you do that. There's so much going on, so much riff and raff going on in the public, but I gotta tell you, we have got to raise the bar. We have to show up at the polls, rather by mail or physically doing it. And then you say, well, I don't see any point in voting. I don't even know why my vote doesn't count. I'm just one person. It won't hurt. But imagine if thousands of people said, my vote don't count. That's thousands of people who didn't throw their hat in. And guess what? You don't get a chance to say what's going wrong in this country, what you do like and don't like, because you didn't throw your hat in. Well, I have a special guest with me tonight. Her name is Melissa P. Dunn. She is running for Lauderhill Commissioner seat number 2. And I'm so pleased to have her here. Melissa is a small business owner, a community activist. I have seen her working in the trenches. When I say this young woman works in the trenches and has a heart and passion for the community and young people, you'll get a chance to meet her right now so that she can tell you a little more about what she does and who she is. It's so exciting to have Melissa P. Dunn here accompanying me tonight. How are you, Melissa?
Hi, Dr. Parker. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, I am so excited. There's so much going on at the polls. And so many people are saying, well, you know, I don't think I'm just going to sit this one out. But that's what they did last election. They sat it out and then look what happened.
Yeah.
Why should people vote?
You should vote because your vote matters. Your opinion counts, number one. And number two, your vote really shapes the policies that affect all of our lives. For those who are concerned about police brutality, you've got to vote, because particularly at the local level, because the city council or the commission, they are the ones who hire the police chief. They're the ones that impact or have an influence over the policy of your police department. When you vote for your state attorney and your judges and your district attorney and your public defender, those people make up the climate of law enforcement. And so we can't complain about police brutality. We can't complain about injustice if we're not fighting also at the polls.
Absolutely. And explain more about local government, because we have so many people in our communities that don't show up for the local elections because they figure the presidency is all they need to show up for. Can you explain that? You know, you were also Lauderhill Chamber president, and you did a magnificent job there. And so you had a chance to see firsthand what goes on in community development. So can you expound more on what local government does and what that means for us as a people?
So local government is the entity that makes decisions about the day-to-day stuff in life, like the trash pickup, the conditions of your street, whether you have a traffic light or a stop sign or a crosswalk in your neighborhood, if you should get a speed bump or not. They're the ones that make decisions about the types of businesses that are in your community and where those businesses are located. If you're looking for affordable housing, a development to come into your neighborhood, it has to go through local government. It has to go through zoning. In fact, I'm on the planning and zoning board for the city of Lauderhill. And before anything is built in the city, before anyone, creates new construction, it has to go through the zoning board. So local government really, in my opinion, is the most important type of government that closely impacts the day-to-day life of our residents. It's mm-hmm. very, very important. So if you have a complaint about, how fast people are going, or the police, or the traffic, or the trash pickup in your neighborhood, local government.
Okay, so talk about the governor. What position does he hold, and how does that affect us?
Well, the governor, so you have most communities, you have the municipal level of government, right? So for the city of Miami Gardens, for example, it's their council people, city council. And then in the city of Lauderhill, where I am, it's a commission. And above that, then you have the governor, who then administers or is responsible for statewide agencies. So for example, the Florida Department of Health is under the state's jurisdiction. The Agency for Healthcare Administration is under the state jurisdiction. So they make policies that affect us statewide, and local government, of course, within that city or that boundary.
And when you talk about the census, when we were doing the census, people didn't want to fill them out.
That's a problem. The census really dictates how much money is allocated from the federal government to local government in order to provide for things like roads and hospitals. We heard a lot during COVID-19 about hospitals being at capacity. They couldn't manage. They didn't have enough ventilators. They didn't have enough equipment. Well, the census is an important part of that process in order for us to be fully funded. So, okay. I can't tell you how critical it is. The being counted really determines how much money you're going to get, the city is going to receive for you for the next 10 years. Very important.
Wow. Like I said, a lot of people don't understand how critical it is for us to participate in our community. And I got to confess, for years, I didn't do it in my community. But when I had an aha moment and woke up, then I got involved, and I actually served on the board of the mm-hmm. Lauderhill Chamber for many years, and I saw different things that came together and how things functions, and I connected with the police chief and mm-hmm. the fire chief there, because I wanted them to know who I was too, that I lived in that community. So I held them up to a higher regard, because I have children, and mm-hmm. this is one of the things that we need to do, especially when we have children, that we need to know who our officials are in that area, so that they will know our families. Because mm-hmm. if they know who you are, and you say your child gets out of line and stuff, they already know who you are, and they know who your children are. So therefore, that has like a kind of a covenant around them, a protection, yes. a case of protection around them. Because I'm going to tell you, looking at this current administration that we're under, it is very frightening. It is tragic when mm-hmm. I hear people not planning on voting because they're like, my vote doesn't count, or they're voting again to put the same current administration in because of a stimulus check. They have spent over $2 billion $2 trillion on this pandemic, when that money could have been used in our communities to better our schools, to give more higher salaries to our teachers, to our firefighters, to our law enforcement. I think it's a tragedy. So we need to make sure that we show up to the polls and don't allow this current administration to stay there in that place. Now, I don't know who you're voting for, and people listening to me, I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just saying what I don't want happening. This is my personal opinion because I have children. And Melissa, I'm going to tell you, if my child was laying on the ground with a foot on his neck, and then the current administration says, well, you don't know the whole story. Well, I don't have to know the whole story to know that it was tragic.
Yes.
That the whole world cried for George Floyd because of what they witnessed. I don't have to know the story. But when this current administration says that when you're protesting peacefully, and there are people planted in there to commit riots, that you want to dispatch the National Guards and tell them if they have to be aggressive and use force by shooting to do so. I have a problem with that because guess what? We're first to get hit. So I think that is very important for us as a people to do our research, do our due diligence, as you said, for the judges, the commissioners, the mayors, the senators, everybody that holds a title. We need to do our due diligence. And Melissa, how can people do that?
Well, you can go to wherever you are in the United States. Usually there is a supervisor of election that's on the county level. So you can go to your county supervisor of election office, and typically, or even the state, and typically they give a list of all of the candidates that's on the ballots, and you can do your research about them. If there's an organization that you trust, you can. Sometimes these organizations would endorse a couple of candidates or give a list of candidates that they believe align with the vision of their membership. So, for example, if you're a member of the Democratic Party, a lot of times the Democratic Party will put out their voting guide that doesn't necessarily say who to vote for, but at least it tells you what amendments to look at. It tells you who's running for what post in which city. So, do your research. First, go to the Supervisor of Elections website. If, for example, in Broward County, if you do go to browardsoe.gov, and there you can look up your own voter record. I had a girlfriend of mine who lives in Lauderhill. That went on the Supervisor of Election, and she looked up her voting record, and it turns out that somebody actually had requested a change of address for her, and she never did. So she had to go back and fix that. So it's a good idea for you to go to the Supervisor of Election website, and on that website, you can look up your information, you can request a mail-in ballot, and my recommendation to people is to not mail your ballot. I'm suggesting for you to, when you receive your ballot, complete it in the privacy of your home with a pen, as you instructed earlier, seal the envelope, sign and date it, and then drop it off at a location. And make sure that you physically go in and you see the staff. They have their IDs. And then you have a box that you drop it in safe and secure, and you get your I vote sticker. I personally am recommending to my family and my friends to do that rather than drop the ballot in the mail. And then in a week or so, you can go back to the Supervisor of Elections website, and you can actually track to make sure that they processed your ballot.
Okay, so even though we may put it in the box where it's supposed to be secure, if we don't see it on that website, does it mean that it won't get processed even though it's been a week, or does it mean that it's still in transit?
Well, it could mean that it's still in transit, but November 3rd is a week from today. So you know very well that if you dropped your ballot off last week and you're on that website and you still don't see where it's been counted, you need to make a phone call and find out what happened to your vote.
Okay, so once we make that phone call and we've done due diligence, then what's the next step? Because it's too late to do a mail-in ballot. Will we be able to physically walk in on Elections Day and cast our votes? And if we did a mail-in ballot and we go to vote and they say, well, we can't accept it because you did a mail-in ballot, then what do you do then? Because I worked the polls. This is one of the first times I have not worked a poll. For years I worked the poll, but this one I did not. And I will tell you, there have been people that showed up to vote and they told them that they could not vote because they were sent a mail-in ballot. And they said, I didn't get the ballot, or they said, I didn't fill out the ballot. I chose to walk in. And they told them that they could not vote because they had a mail-in ballot.
That's why it's important not to procrastinate, because in a scenario like the one that you just described, if it happens today during early voting, there's time for them to void that mail-in ballot and then give you the opportunity to vote in person, right? You have time to work it out. But if you procrastinate and then you try to solve it on election day, then it becomes a little bit more challenging. So my advice is take advantage of the early voting period, you know? And I really, you know, again, for those of us who are in Broward County, I really think that the Supervisor of Elections website giving you the opportunity to not only request a ballot, but update your voter registration information, as well as check the status of your mail-in ballot. I think that's an important step, and you can do that now during early voting. Do not wait. I'm telling you, Listen, Dr. Parker, I have been at the poll every single day since early voting started. Me, my team, and I. For Lauderhill, you know, there are three locations that we're covering right now: at the Tamarack Library, Lauderhill Mall, and the African American Research Library. Yes. We're there from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And I'm telling you, on the first day of voting, the lines were long. And then with the weather, it got shorter and shorter. And now that we're a week away from election, it's starting to pick up again. I anticipate tremendous turnout this year. I'm actually claiming it. I've seen already the trend that a lot of people are showing up to vote. There is a line. You know, it comes and it goes, but I really strongly encourage everybody to vote early if you can. And yeah, if you haven't already made a plan, get one. It's so important.
I know. Is this a, you know, my co-host, Dr. J.R. Thickland, as I said, he knew he would have joined me today, but he's doing the souls to the polls. And it's just amazing how you have to, like, kind of pull people to come and do their right, their God-given right to vote. This is the only time that you can actually cast your vote and make your voices heard. What you don't like, you can speak about it now. And please don't vote because you're thinking you're going to get another stimulus check. Think about the billions of dollars that have been spent, and you're looking for a $500 or maybe a $1,200 check when you got the whole year you got to live. And Melissa, I know that you have an extensive background in healthcare. So with this pandemic and how it's evolved, I've been telling people we're going to have a second wave because winter is coming. It's going to be a second wave, and taxes and Corona, we know we're going to have it.
Right. Well, I mean, I could tell you, speaking of taxes, that's one of the issues that's happening. That's a very prominent issue in the election here in Lauderhill because of the property taxes.
I live in Lauderhill.
Huh?
I live here in Lauderhill.
Oh, okay. So that's the other thing that local government does. Local government decides on the property taxes that homeowners pay. And so that's another reason why it's so important for you to vote in local elections. In the city of Lauderhill, for example, the property tax was raised in September of 2019. All of the commissioners voted, it passed 5-0. And you know, it only takes 3 votes for anything to happen on the commission. Yeah. So I'm actually, the seat that I'm running for, seat number 2, is held by a current commissioner who voted to raise property taxes in 2019. And then thank God, maybe about 2 months ago, they voted to lower it. So it went down from, I think, 8.9 to like 8.6. So it went from the highest in Broward County to the third highest in Broward County. So that's still too high, right? Mm-hmm. But that's why it's so important for you to vote for your local elections, because you want to put people in office who have your best interests at heart. You want to put people in office who will work for the people, will do the people's work.
Yeah.
Will do the people's work. People who have a track record of that. And that's part of the reason why I'm running for this seat in particular.
Okay, awesome. So tell us more about the policies you want to put in place and the what you will bring to the table for Lauderhill.
Well, there are a couple of things that I want to see happen in the city. I believe that there are a lot of good things that happen in the city of Lauderhill. You know, despite what you might hear on the news, despite what you may see in Google, there are a lot of amazing family here. We are a multicultural, diverse community. And I want to see us celebrate our strengths. I want to see us celebrate the things that are amazing about our community. But we also have a couple of challenges. And one of the first things that I would love to do when I get into office is to identify exactly what our needs are and who is currently serving the needs. You are in the nonprofit world, Dr. Parker. You know that before you get any amount of government, any amount of money from any foundation, you have to show a needs assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things I have been asking. I mean, from when I was working at the chamber, I was asking, do we have a community needs assessment? And I was unable to get my hands on one. Mm-hmm. If there was one done in the past, I've asked for it. I never saw one. I know certainly now that we're in a post-COVID environment, it's necessary for us to do another one. So that's one of the first things I want to tackle when I get into office, is to clearly do some research and identify exactly where we are and what we need and who's fulfilling the need, where's the gap, so that then we can put together a task force similar to what's in other communities like Harlem, like Miami Gardens, put together a healthy community partnership where you have business, nonprofit, the church, as well as government and resident and young people sitting at the same table saying, listen, here's what the needs are in our community, and here is a plan that we want to work collaboratively to address those needs. So I want to take a collaborative impact approach, Dr. Parker. It's something that's been done in other communities to transform them. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to do that in Lauderhill. So that's one thing that I'd like to do. And in that process, we're going to look at healthcare. We're going to look at education. We're going to look at safety. We're also going to look at our built environment. Right now, we're having some challenges with the flooding in the community. My understanding is that the city's engineer and the city manager has a plan already to move that forward. But, you know, as a part of this process, we need to look at all of that, the built environment. And of course, we need to look at community engagement. The truth is that, you know, government is only a part of the solution. We need business to come to the table, and we need the community to come to the table.
Okay. You spoke about having businesses come to the table, but, you know, we've had, not just in our city, but all across the country, businesses have closed because they've not been able to get financial assistance to stay open. And of course, even those that have been able to open, they had limitations on opening because of the fact that they couldn't have people come in to their establishments. So moving forward and given the current state that we're in, where do you see it going for a lot of people that have businesses?
Well, I mean, it's a challenge for sure. And it's particularly a challenge for those that are in service providing industries or the hospitality industry. They've been hardest hit. That's why I've been doing for ever since COVID, or maybe perhaps for the last 3 or 4 months, every Friday, I do a Lauderhill Business Spotlight, where I promote a local business and encourage people to shop Lauderhill, to shop local. I think we need to continue to do that. When I was at the chamber, we used to have a new business orientation that I did with Elijah Wooten. You remember Elijah from
yes.
the Economic
yes.
Development Department? I'd like to bring that back, where every quarter we bring new businesses together and we provide them with the support that they need in order for them to at least survive the first year, meaning getting them connected so that they can connected to resources at the county level so they can get certified, connect them to resources at the city level so that they become a vendor of the city, so that they will learn about procurement opportunities that the city might have to offer, and also so that we can build their capacity. You know that one of the things that I used to do for small businesses in Lauderhill is I used to sit down with them and give them free marketing advice when they would
yes,
come
you
into
did.
The chamber office. And I'd like to see us figure out a way how to do that in a way that is sustainable. Imagine if we were to create a program where larger businesses who are doing well were to perhaps mentor a micro business or a small business to help them build capacity.
Awesome. You know, getting back to helping businesses and establishing, and I also know that you're quite savvy on the computer as far as, you know, Zoom calls and things. Mm-hmm. Do you think that you would kind of establish or implement some type of networking through Zooms to encourage business owners and have a platform established to help small businesses in the community?
Well, I think that I would love to support the chamber for them to continue to do that work. I know currently the chamber, I believe, still does like a monthly Zoom networking event. And I'd love to be able to kind of support them in being able to do that. You know, part of the beautiful thing about having a chamber in a city is that the chamber then takes on the responsibility of creating a collaborative business climate. And I'd love to support the Lauderhill Chamber for them to continue to do that.
Yes. Well, like I said, you've supported in the past and you've held the chair as president. So, you know, you're well aware of what the community needs. So you running for that seat is an awesome thing.
You know, the shift that has to happen for me in mentally is, my entire career, I've been focused on the program part of it. Right. Mm. I'm the type of person that's a really good implementer. And I think that's important. But when you are in office, then the thought pattern shifts to policy, right? Mm-hmm. And so luckily for me, this is the time where I get to practice to be more collaborative. And this is the time when we get to bring different people to the table, right? Part of the reason why I'm running in general is because I wanted to see a lot of things change in the community. And I recognize that as a business owner, as a resident, or as a community activist, particularly in the chamber, there's only so much I could do without support of policymakers.
Right.
And so my approach is going to be a little bit different in that, yes, I'm going to be sitting at the table, but I want to bring people with me so that we can together, make the kind of shifts that'll happen. On the government side, you know, I can suggest policies and work with the city to execute those policies once they're approved by the commission. But, it's the people in the community that's going to make it work. And so I've been saying to residents who I speak to at the polls, I'm saying, you know what? I want you to vote for me. But here's the thing. Once you vote for me and I'm sitting in that chair, I want you to also work with me so that we can execute some of these things that we both agree the city needs. Right. So it's getting on the dais is the beginning of the race. The beginning of the race. We got to run it together as a community.
Okay. The next question, like I said, I asked you about health care because you have a background in health care.
Yes.
And in anticipation for a second wave, will there be more COVID testing spots set up in the local communities? And how are COVID stations established? Who sets precedence regarding that?
Well, the setting up the testing sites is a function of the Florida Department of Health, mm-hmm. which is something that's controlled by Tallahassee. And right now in my city, which I'm not really sure about what happens outside of Lauderhill, but right now in Lauderhill, we do have a COVID site at the Lauderhill Sports Park. And I believe there's also one at, beautiful park by the LPAC. Central Broward Regional Park. There's also some testing happening there. And I've actually been tested at the one at the sports park. And it was really easy, right? The process.
Yeah.
There was
The first time I got it done, oh my God, I suffered for like two
trauma.
Months. I already had sinus issues, but when I did that first test, they stuck that thing so far up, it was bleeding. I couldn't sleep at night. I had headaches. But when I went to the one by the sports park, Commissioner Bates referred me to go there. And I went there and it was so easy breezy. I said, now this is the way it's supposed to be done.
Yeah. No, it was easy. It was a really good experience. I've been tested at that site twice and I got tested the first time in Coral Springs. But yeah, I think it's important for us to keep testing and of course for us to practice wearing a mask. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but I have a habit of touching my face when I'm thinking or I'm in
Me
deep
too.
Thought.
I do too.
And that's a red flag, right? Because that's how the virus, if you get it, you know, close to your face. That's one of the other reasons why they suggest to wash your hands often and wear a mask. So, you know, I do see some of the public health information and data that's coming out that there is anticipation that there is a second wave. So my recommendation is for us to remain vigilant, for us to continue to wear masks, continue to practice social distancing, and of course, continue to wash your hands. Now, I am, you know, missing a lot of the stuff that we normally do, the eating out and then not wearing a mask. I mean, like I'm leaving my house nowadays. I don't even bother to put on lipstick.
Yeah, I know. I saved a lot of makeup.
I don't even bother to put on lipstick. I'm like, I just need some eyebrows and some lashes and I'm good.
I only wear lipsticks on Tuesdays.
Exactly. But you know what? We just have to continue to be vigilant. I mean, this is going to be with us for a minute. I've heard some models say that it's going to be summer to fall 2021 before we start to go back to normal, whatever the new normal is.
Whatever that is. Well, mm-hmm. I tell you what, if this current administration doesn't take seriously the wearing of masks and social distances and the fact that it's increased, it's been spiking all across the country, and he's saying, oh, it's going to be fixed. Just get me elected. I'll give you some more money. Get me elected. I'll get it straightened up. Well, the fact of the matter is, it's out of control because you didn't take it seriously. And the bribery of a stimulus check and saying, oh, I saved you.
Check. I haven't seen any yet. Have you?
No, said I've saved you. I've given you this $1,200, and then the unemployment crashing, you couldn't even get unemployment. You know, I work for myself, so I couldn't get no unemployment. So there's, you know, you're not filling that hole, but you're making the hole bigger. And this is why, people, we need to get out and vote, and yeah, don't be blinded. This is not reality television. This is our real lives. We've lost grandparents. We've lost mothers. We've lost fathers. We lost children because of this pandemic. You don't want to wear a mask. Stay in the house, because the fact is, if you go out and you're asymptomatic and you're spreading it to people, then you become a murderer because you're transferring. My father has lost so many of his friends. He's 80 years old. And he said, I'm afraid. I'm not going out unless I absolutely have to. He hates going out for doctor's appointments because he's like, little girl has called me little girl. I'm 61, but I'm still little girl. He says, yeah, little girl, I'm out there and they not wearing their masks. He's in New York. And he's like, they're not wearing their masks. And, you know, I want to stay here a little longer. So I'm going to stay right here. When I flew to New York to see my new grandson, I wanted to go and spend some time with my parents. They're like, that's okay. So I just did. Because they didn't want to get contaminated. But I did get a chance. He was like, my mom said, I'm not going to have you here this close to me without me letting me hug you. And so, you know, but it was just really something so surreal to think about that, that I could have flown from Florida to New York and killed my parents. It's a possibility. This is just how real this is. This is real life, folks. This is not a TV reality show. We're not pawns on a checkerboard. We are real life people. And the only way to let people know that we are real is by our voices. And our voices is our vote.
That's it. And you know, the other thing too that I want to point out is that, you know, people, a lot of times, and I've spoken to some people who show up at the polls, and they're there because of the sense of urgency around voting for the presidency. And they haven't really given a thought to the rest of the ballot, you know, the senators and the representatives. Well, those people are really so critical, because the president can't really make laws. The Congress does that.
Yes.
And so you have to make sure that we put the right people in the Senate and the House of Representatives at the national level and at the state level. And so it's so important for you to educate yourself on the people that's on the ballot all the way down.
All the way down.
The race that I'm running for, which is at the municipal level. And then there are a lot of constitutional...
Who are you running against?
I'm running against two gentlemen. One is an incumbent, Richard Campbell, who's been in the office for 2 years. And then another gentleman called Calvin Haynes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's important for you to educate yourself all the way down the ballot. And like I said, if you don't know who all of those people are, go to a trusted source, NAACP. If you're a member of a sorority or fraternity, I know that they sometimes do, events to educate their membership about who the candidates are. Your church, and certainly for a list of everybody that's running the race in your local area, the Supervisor of Elections office will have that list on their website for you.
Yeah. And speaking about the church, you know, I'm a minister in the church, but I'm Melissa. They want to vote because someone is against abortion, but you okay with somebody that molests women?
Don't get me started. Listen, it's a challenge.
You're okay with that, but you don't have a problem with someone that diminishes our value and who we are. Mm-hmm. And it's okay across the country. That's why the big Me Too group rose up, because they were like, wait a minute, this is not right. But I'm telling you, ladies, don't wait to the day after the election to want to march around and try to get somebody out that's been elected. This is the time to join together, band together, get your sisters, your mothers, your aunts. Y'all get to those polls and you vote and say, I'm not going to have you belittle me, because I am woman. I am a mother. I'm a business owner. Yes. And I have a voice, and I'm not going to allow you to diminish who I am as a woman. So get to those polls now, not after the election. We need you to show up right now.
Did you know that this is the 100th anniversary of the women's right to vote? This year is the 100th anniversary of the women's right to vote. And what a historic moment this can be for us, because now we get to put somebody in the White House that reflects the value of women, someone who respects women. And then on the local level, in my race in Lauderhill, there are 3 open seats. There are 3 candidates running for each of those seats. And in each of those seats, there's a woman running. And I have to tell you, Val, I have been at the polls, and the way how some men behave, it can be really intimidating. It can be, and you know, I'm not a, a scaredy cat or a skittish type of person. And I don't intimidate easy at all. But if we're not careful and we don't stand up for what's right and we don't stand up for what we believe in, then people can bully you into staying home.
Yes.
And so my challenge to, my call to action for every single woman that's listening to this, if you are over the age of 18, grab another woman and go to the polls. Grab another woman and go to the polls and look at other women who are on the ballot. Do your research. And if you agree with that woman's stance, if you agree with that woman's policy, give her a chance. No more old boys club.
Yes.
Because, honey, I'm telling you, and you know, I'm listen, there's a book in my story somewhere in this process, because I am telling you, the old boys club is a real thing. And, you know, it's very important for us to exercise our right to vote, ladies. A Absolutely. Lot of women have suffered for us, not just women, but Black women in particular.
Black women in particular. We have a harder fight, a harder struggle. And I've been in corporate America for 41 years. And I can say I didn't have to get in nobody's bed to get where I had to go. Mm-hmm. I use my mind. I use my wit, because that's what my father taught me. You have everything inside you you need to succeed. And you don't have to be validated by a man to get to that next level. You do not have to belittle who you are, but remember whose you are, and you'll get to the top.
Yes ma'am, for sure. So ladies, let's get it done. Vote. When women vote, women win. And that's a fact. That's the reality. We know the issues that are important to us, and so it is important for us to find people who believe in what we believe in, and put them in office. And those who don't support our values, get them out of there, vote them out.
Amen. You know, it's been said that people will buy and go along with who they know, like, and trust. So my prayer today is that people that are viewing on all my platforms, and those of you that don't know and just kind of breeze by this live show, you can follow me on www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. I'm on YouTube, and I'm also on LinkedIn, Valerie Parker Hagen, and also Blog Talk Radio at soultopics.com. So all of those platforms are available. And so you'll be able to click the link and share this interview on your social media page, whatever platform you on, I'm on it too. So I need you to share this show because we need to show up in the polls. And as I said, we need to show up because our lives depend on it. Our children's lives depend on it. If we don't show up for us, who will? We have a voice, use it. And this is how I'm using my voice. I'm crying loud, like the word of God said, and I'm spared not. And he said, therefore, knowing the terror that is to come, we persuade men to come. So we're persuading y'all, go to the polls and vote. You don't have to agree with me, but vote for someone. And remember to always vote for Congress. You can't have a Democratic president and have a Republican House. That's what happened with President Barack Obama. He was a Democrat, but the House was controlled by the Republicans. It can't work. Oh, he can do some executive orders, but guess what? If he would have did some executive orders and things he wanted to do, he would have been out quicker than he wouldn't have been able to serve his term. So, you know, we don't want a cowboy in the White House that takes our lives and utilizes it like he's playing with dolls. We're real life people and we have families. Some of us don't have money to go to the grocery stores. We don't have transportation. We don't have housekeepers. We don't have babysitters for our children. We need to get out and vote because we need help. There's some of us that don't have skills. We don't know how to type. We don't know how to work in corporate America, but we're cleaning somebody's house and we're making somebody's bed and we're sweeping somebody's floors. We need help too. Don't look down on us because we're doing it. We need those people to serve us. We need people that are working at fast food joints to be able to provide food for us. And when they go home, they're up late at night trying to work and minister to their children. And then we minimum wage our teachers and don't want to give them their due pay because it's not in the budget, but we can send trillions and billions of dollars on a pandemic that should not have been out of proportion as it is. I'm not saying it wouldn't have happened, but it wouldn't have happened as rapidly if proper precautions were taken. So we need to take our stand and take our power back across this nation and say we want to live and not die. And in order to do that, you must absolutely, positively vote.
Yes, vote, 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 vote. And learn about those amendments. That's so important. Across the country, there are different amendments that's going to be proposed. So educate yourself, go to the Supervisor of Elections office, do the research, and vote all the way down the ballot so that you do not miss the people that are running for local office, whether it's your city council or, like in my case in Lauderhill, your commission.
Now, you brought up the amendments, and the amendments are some of the most difficult ones for people to get through. Number one, they have them so limply that and the language in they use is so manipulative to you don't really know what you're voting yes or no about. Do you, at the top of your head, know about some amendments that should be addressed in the state of Florida?
Well, I do know that there's one amendment in particular where they're asking about the rights. I don't know if this is in the state of Florida or if it's just Broward County, about who should have the right to vote in terms of looking at your citizenship. And yes, they're changing the word from like only to ever. And I'm like, wait, what is this? What's this mean? And, you know, I have trusted sources that give their opinion about how one should vote on one amendment or another. And so I wanted to find out for myself. So I Googled to see the difference between the word only and ever, every. And I really don't understand the difference in the language, but I know it must be significant in order for it to be on the ballot. And so my advice is to do your research. Again, you know, it's hard to do the research if you procrastinate.
Yes.
So here is your homework, y'all. If you're listening, find out what's on the ballot. Go to the Supervisor of Election office, type in your information, and you can actually see a sample ballot so that you will know exactly what it is that you will see when you get into that booth.
Well, we're quickly running out of time, and I want you to share with people from your heart why you've decided to run for public office and what it means to you as a African American woman in government.
So I chose to run for public office because I believe that change begins with me. The kind of transformation that I'm looking to see in my community is in part my responsibility. And I have been blessed with a gift of organization. I have been blessed with a gift of, with a vision to be able to see how to put things together in a way that makes sense. And I've been blessed with a vision of being able to build collaboration and build bridges. And I believe that those are skills that will serve me well sitting in the chair of the dais for Lauderhill City Commission seat number 2. And I want to bring those skills to the table. Now, I'm running in particular for seat number 2 because I believe that I will be the best person for the job. I really would love to see our property tax get lowered even more. I'm the type of person that if I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm definitely going to do what I say I'm going to do. And if I can't, I'm going to communicate it with you. I'm not going to promise you to lower taxes and then a year later vote to raise them. And then a couple of months before the elections, vote to lower them again real quickly. That's not who I am. Who I am is someone who is committed to creating a Lauderhill where our children can play safely without fear. Mm-hmm. Who I am is a person who will be dedicated to bringing new business to Lauderhill, to helping our current businesses to grow and to expand. Who I am is someone that is 100% committed to working with the school board, working with our educators to creating top-rated schools in the city of Lauderhill. Who I am is someone who has the ability to not only have original thoughts and original programs, but the skill set to get them done. Mm-hmm. I'm a collaborator, and I'm someone who not only has a vision, but the skill sets to get those vision into reality. And that's awesome. Why I'm running. And I'd love to have your vote. If you live in the city of Lauderhill, please consider voting for Melissa Dunn for seat 2. And if you know someone who lives in Lauderhill, tell them to vote for me as well.
Well done. Well, we look forward to seeing you on the other side. There was one more question I wanted to ask you. I'm having a senior moment.
Don't worry.
I had one
when we were on the show. I don't know if you noticed, but I broke out in a flash. I was like, Lord.
I was like, there was one more thing that was very important that I wanted to ask you. And of course, when the show was over, I'd be like, oh, that was it. But I am so delighted that you took the time out of your busy schedule, campaigning and phone calls, to come by Hot Topics from the Soul and share from your heart, and also give some information that is very important to people that just didn't know. You know, a lot of people don't know about the relevance of community voting, state voting, presidency voting, and what a person can and can't do. And I've been following the news and watching the different things going on in the news media, and it's disturbing, to say the least. And I just thought that it was appropriate. We got one more week. We have one more week to get this done. And it takes Everybody, it takes a village. We've got to absolutely positively show up. I'm reminded of a quote by Dr. Martin Luther King, and he says that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Yes.
So we've seen so much injustice done to us as a people and to young people and to women. So much injustice has been done, and we just cannot turn a blind eye and say, well, that was her, that's not me, that was him, that's not me. It happened. When it happens to one, it happens to all of us. Yeah. May not happen in that manner, but a situation will arise that will absolutely positively affect you and your family. I'm an advocate for domestic violence. You could go on my website, fromthesoulofawoman.com, and I'm telling you, there are thousands of women that never thought twice about even supporting domestic violence until they became a victim. There are billions of people that never thought about supporting cancer nonprofits until they came down with cancer or somebody they know. It's unfortunate that we don't participate in something until it happens to us. Let's get in front of it. Let's get in front of it, people. We are the voices that are crying out. Let us not be in the wilderness crying out. Let us be a legion of people marching forward so that we roar as a lion.
Yes.
And say, we are here. We are here and we're standing and we're going to be faithful and we're going to get out and vote. One more week to get it done. One more week to get it done. Vote all the way down the ballot. If you don't understand something, at least vote for what you're doing. And please, people, don't write in names of people that names aren't typed in, because that means they have a slim to none chance of getting in. So you're wasting your ballots. And not voting is voting for the current administration. Just let it be known I said it. And it's time to go. And I thank you again so much for joining. How can people contact you?
Text the word done, that's D-U-N-N, to 545454, and you will receive a link with my email and all of my information.
Thank you so much. And again, I want to leave that quote with you all from Dr. Martin Luther King. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And it affects us all. Thank you so much. Good night. God bless. Stay safe and vote.